Welcome to the Modern Outdoor Dynamics Podcast, the official podcast of Mod Outdoors. Now, for your two hosts, Hunter Parrock and Levi Virgili.
Hey guys, welcome to the Modern Outdoor Dynamics Podcast intro. I'm going to give you the spiel here on who we are, where we're from, and what mod's all about. So, getting into it, my name is Hunter Parrock, 27 years old. I'm originally from Southern Pennsylvania.
I'm Levi Virgili. I'm originally from Southern Pennsylvania as well, same area as Hunter actually, and we've both relocated to Northwestern Pennsylvania.
So to lay a little bit of background, we both met through a mutual friend of ours, started fishing together right away. We've been chasing steelhead in the Erie tributaries. Not long after, both started hunting together, chasing whitetails out closer towards the Appalachian region.
Yeah, we basically hunt and fish for pretty much every species in the state of Pennsylvania, even bump into New York a little bit to chase some stuff down.
Yep, been broadening our horizons. And, you know, it didn't take long going on these outings together. We knew that we both shared a level of passion that is kind of hard to come by. And we knew that we had to do something with it. We knew that there was more to just, you know, hunting and fishing together. We knew that we had to take this in a certain direction.
Yeah, pretty much just to kind of get out there and share the love for the sport and get more people interested, because there's nothing better than seeing a little kid out there like us.
Exactly.
We were once that kid.
So, you know, in the midst of these hunting outings, these fishing outings, you know, we're trying to figure out our direction. We're trying to figure out where we're going to take this. And at first, we thought we'll just start throwing some media together as we're going, maybe get some traction. And, you know, there was always kind of that looming talk of maybe one day we'd do something like a podcast.
There's always one day.
Yeah.
Today's the day.
Exactly. Today finally is that day. Yes, sir. And for the longest time, we were kind of sitting on some media that we would want to post, but we didn't really have anywhere to post it because we didn't have a name.
Yeah.
It seems like it took us forever to figure out what we were going to call ourselves.
I think we had like 7 or 8 names
before
we finally landed on a big winner.
We did. We did. Yeah. And I mean, none of them we were sure of. And then finally, one day, I think it was right after we bought those layout waterfowl blinds, and we were modifying them.
No, you know what it was? The XOP Reapers. When we bought the Reapers,
that was
it.
We
were sitting there,
yeah,
rigging them up to the packs, trying to figure out what's the most effective way to get this
exactly
stand into the woods for mobile hunting.
Yep. And we're thinking to ourselves, how can we modify this to make it ours, to make it the most efficient, to pack the fullest punch out of what we have?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, at that point, we both realized we modify it, like everything that we have, all the gear we have, our approaches to hunting. We modify it, we modernize it, and I mean, we looked at each other, and it's like we knew at that moment, Mod Outdoors, that was it.
Yeah, that was the
Very ticket. First name, and we knew that was the one, and it was just all history from there. At that point, we just etched it in stone, and we took off with it, and I think that it's been great ever since.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff on social media starting up, really getting the Instagram, TikTok, trying to work on that, a little bit of Facebook here and there. Not as huge on Facebook, I think.
We're working on the presence. I think we're really diving into some of the more local communities on Facebook.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
For example,
more of the groups.
We're up in the northwestern corner of Pennsylvania. We're in the Wildlife Management Unit 1B. So, you know, we're going to be, you know, pretty active in the 1B group. A lot of our local outdoorsmen.
A lot of hunters in 1B. A lot of anglers in 1B as well.
A lot of hunters.
Right
here
on Lake Erie. Yeah, we got a lot of guys.
I mean, it's year-round, too. It's steelhead in the winter. It's perch and walleye guys in the spring and summer.
Smallmouth.
Smallmouth are huge in the bay. Oh, my gosh,
as they hit the bay, it's...
Can't leave out the smallmouth guys.
Yeah, bass boats everywhere.
I love that. I love those mornings in May. We don't see it as much anymore because I feel like we're always turkey hunting in May.
Yeah.
But
massacred by bugs.
Oh, dude, don't get me started on that.
The bugs are always chasing us down.
I hate
it's
it so
brutal.
Much.
Brutal.
I think I figured out the fix to the bugs, by the way. But we'll cover that here in one of the future episodes.
Yeah,
that's a really good topic that we're going to talk about here soon. Yeah. You don't even know it yet. You're going to be interested in hearing this.
I'm ready. Hopefully, if it's something I got to eat, it tastes good.
It is.
Oh, baby.
But it's not an overnight fix. Well, we won't dive into it too much here. We'll have to save it for the next episode. But essentially we realized that we like to modify and modernize absolutely everything, and Mod Outdoors was born. From there, we've been kind of doing things with a couple different buddies here and there. One of ours, a good friend of ours, Chase, he actually kind of recommended the acronym. So the acronym for Mod.
Yeah. MOD. Modern Outdoor Dynamics sounds awesome.
It does. It flows.
Fits it perfect as well.
It's really sweet name.
Yeah.
So we're just going to use both. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So we're Mod Outdoors. We're Modern Outdoor Dynamics. We are all three. That's us. So,
yeah, getting out with Chase. I think we were, what were we doing? We were duck hunting, I think, with Chase.
I think we were on our way out to Chase's. I don't think it's when we were duck hunting. I think it's when we were going to go out there for rifle hunting.
It was when we were duck hunting because we were going out to that one stand to sign up to hunt that one section that he recommended that we went out.
I remember that now.
He laid it out and I was like, dude, this is perfect.
Yep.
I was like, once again, same thing with Modern Outdoor Dynamics, it fits.
Oh yeah, Chase hit that nail on the head. Our buddy, we actually like to call him Chazley.
yeah, you might hear him referred to anything in the relation of Chazley,
Chazarucci,
Chasmanian Devil. Dude. That's my favorite. It just fits him.
Oh yeah, man. No, he knocked that one out of the park. So hats off to Chazley on that one. That one was sweet.
Yeah, we'll have him on at some point, I'm sure, as a special guest. He's always doing stuff with us.
Dude, he's like living our dream.
Filming and
he's always out doing something incredible. He's a professional outdoor photographer and videographer.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, how can you name a career that you would enjoy more than that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
there is none.
Yeah. And then he's also now a certified guide in the state of New York.
Yes.
That's huge. I mean,
absolutely.
If there was a guy in New York that I was going to go salmon fishing with, turkey hunting with, duck hunting, anything, if I was trying to chase some species on land or water, especially now that he's got that boat.
Oh, dude, he did just get a pretty sweet boat.
Going up, salmon in the lake. Salmon in the Salmon River. I mean, the guy's always on whatever he's after.
He really is.
And he's a good time.
Why do you think his name is Chase? He knows how to chase him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Old buddy Chazley. Yeah, you guys will meet him here. He'll be one of our special guests, I'm sure, more than once.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he's always doing stuff with us.
Yep, big time.
Yeah, we got a lot of exciting episodes coming up, a lot of special guests, a lot of really interesting topics, a lot of things that we've been just really dying to talk about and share with everybody for the past couple years now.
Yeah, man. I bet you we have upwards of 17, maybe 20 episodes already penciled in.
I think we even have more.
Probably by now.
I mean, yeah, honestly. There's so many things we do something where we got to get this out there. We got to share this.
Absolutely. We're thinking about these episodes and... You know, we're thinking about a couple different topics, and then we realize how in depth we can talk about these individual topics, how deep we can dive into them. And we're like, this one tiny thing, that's an entire episode.
Easily an entire episode.
Absolutely. That's one special guest. That's one full episode that we could talk about that for. So, no shortage of content on the horizon.
No. Both. In my opinion, pretty knowledgeable guys and both very, very detail oriented, which kind of plays really good into what we're doing because, we really analyze everything to the fullest potential of how, why, when, just really get far into it.
Absolutely. We're all about getting the most bang for our buck. We want things to be as efficient as they can.
Yeah.
And like you said, that attention to detail is really where I think we kind of set ourselves apart.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're here to talk about it.
Yeah.
We're here to share it with you guys. Hunting, fishing, absolutely everything the Commonwealth has to offer, between the Appalachians and the Great Lakes and even beyond. You know, I'm sure one day we're going to be venturing out west here, down south. I'd like to make it out to Montana, Texas, Colorado, New Mexico. Oh man, things are just endless. And
We got a lot of stuff coming up in the near future too. We're going to Indiana to go to that TAC event. We went to that first Seven Springs one, had an absolute ball. Super glad we booked to Indiana.
That absolutely blew my mind. My expectations were here And I mean, Seven Springs just blew them out of the water. I couldn't believe it. That was incredible.
Yeah, I've heard that that's one of the better ones. I don't know. We just got to go and try them all out. Yeah. I heard Indiana's got a lot of elevation differences, shooting up, shooting down.
I heard Indiana's the hardest one.
Yeah. Better take maybe an extra dozen arrows.
Oh, jeez. I got to tell you what, I saw some guys there. They were carrying a lot of arrows. Yep. I mean, I thought that me carrying like 5 or 6 was excessive.
Yeah.
There were guys with like 2 dozen arrows there. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I thought they were selling them or something. maybe we could take a handful of arrows and sell them to the poor guy that loses all of his arrows.
Oh my gosh.
Some extra knocks maybe.
Yeah.
Blew up a couple knocks. And then we got the Reinhardt R100 coming to Franklin, Pennsylvania. That's just going to be incredible. 100 targets in a day because we're shooting both courses.
Yeah, I don't know how my shoulder's going to hold up for that one. At the end of the day, I'm just going to be trying to hit the target. I mean, 100 shots. Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot, especially walking the terrain. I mean, but I'm pretty excited for that one. It's right there in our backyard. It's probably less than an hour away from us.
Yeah.
So that one's going to be sweet.
I think they have a lot of different stuff for the targets, too. They have safari style targets.
They have like a giant T-Rex. It's like the size of my truck.
Yeah, we're gonna see a lot of stuff that we've never seen before and would never have the chance to see. That's gonna be an interesting one.
I saw from one of the other R100s on social media, I saw they were shooting a giraffe life-size, like I don't know, 10-20 foot tall giraffe. I don't even know how tall giraffes are, but
how
it
big
was
is
tall.
This place, I mean, I have no idea. Acres upon acres of
where's it at
targets.
Yeah, it's gotta be huge.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of stuff on the horizon. What about our hunt? We got that duck hunt coming up, too. I'm pumped for that thing.
Yeah, that duck hunt's going to be an absolute ball.
Yeah, we're heading down to Virginia, like towards the ocean.
Yeah, we're hunting on the ocean.
Ocean
ducks,
sea ducks.
They have about 30 miles of, like, bay, I guess you could call it, right off of the ocean. And because we selected the species of longtails and eiders.
Yep.
I told them longtails and eiders are our target animals. So we're going to be probably closer out to the ocean. Borderline ocean, maybe ocean. It's going to be mostly sea ducks.
Salt life.
Yeah. Yeah. My gun's going to be living the salt life after that trip.
Dude. Yeah. We're going to be.
That's going to be brutal.
Cleaning those things real good.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, we're approaching season here as we get into the swing of things early season. You know, we're going to be covering a couple of, summer and preseason scouting tactics, trail cams,
mock scrapes.
Mock scrapes.
We learned a lot about mock scrapes last year.
Yeah. I have a couple points I am super excited to share about mock scrapes.
Yeah.
We've had some good success, some good failures.
Lots of failures.
Probably more failures than success, but we've had some really good success, and we know what works and what doesn't now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely dialed in on those a lot last year. Coming into this season, I feel a lot more confident in setting those up and making the most out of less.
Yeah.
Not doing tons of them, trying to figure out what works. Yep. We did a lot of research last year.
Thinking back, I think my most memorable takeaway from last year was it was actually the day that I shot that 10-point. Just moments before, I had called another buck in off of a doe, and he was he ended up being that lower, that not as tall 10-point,
yeah,
super
the short,
wide
guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I called him in, and I could see a little bit of a bigger rack coming in. And I could see a big body, but he was behind some trees, and he got super close, just came right at me behind a big tree. He was at about 20, 25 yards. I was at full draw on him, and he stepped out. He was still behind a bush. I'm just waiting for a few more steps. And, I mean, I held that draw for like 2 or 3 minutes.
What's your let off? 85%?
Probably 80.
You were questioning that 80, weren't you?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I could see the pin starting to float around, and I'm like, you better either step out or not step out.
Yep.
I got to make a decision here. He ended up stepping out, and I figured out which buck he was, and I said, okay, he's not in the top three. He's going to get the pass. So I let off, and I watched him. He walked around me, walked right to where I hung my drag, my little scent drag. I hung it in a tree, and I was using Code Blue. It was buck pee. It wasn't even doe and estrus. You know, we were in the rut, but I wanted to try something different out and use buck pee.
Yeah.
If I forget exactly what that scent's called, but it's Code Blue's buck pee, and he came over to that, gave it a little sniff, made a scrape right in the ground, directly under that drag,
Yeah.
Took a leak in the scrape and went on his way. And I'm like, whoa, that was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so glad I didn't shoot that buck because I got to see that.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you kind of think, what do I miss?
Exactly.
Like, what do I not get to see sometimes?
Or yeah.
What do I see because I didn't take that opportunity? And it's yep. a learning experience, and just, it's crazy.
That's exactly right. A lot of guys never would have seen that, because I can think of probably the majority of guys that I talked to, they wouldn't have passed on that buck. They would have shot him.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have seen him do that. Yeah. And guess what? You're observing a mature buck and how he interacts with his environment.
Yeah.
You're not just shooting him as soon as you see him.
Exactly.
You're observing. You're learning. And these are the steps that we're taking now. And this is how we're growing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're killers. We're definitely taking opportunities where there's opportunities to be taken. But we're also being somewhat selective and learning. We're still young. We got a lot of years Absolutely. To, you know, shoot that buck that we want to shoot. But the more you learn, the more opportunities you're going to see that buck you want to shoot.
That's exactly right.
That's huge.
It's all about figuring him out, learning what they do, what he does.
Yeah. Yeah, really dialing in on their mannerisms and stuff, especially that time of year during the rut. I mean, I passed out one deer that I set up on. I mean, I set up on him, and I was on his scrape, and I let him walk.
I remember that.
I let him walk.
Is that that nine?
Yeah. That goofy, skinny little nine. I probably would have taken him in a normal scenario, but I was like, I don't know. I want to get a better look at him. And I saw him again. And then I ended up actually taking the doe that he was chasing during the rut.
That's the one you took?
Yep.
He was chasing that doe?
Chasing her.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, and I took her during the rut just because I was like, that's just not the one. If I passed him once, I'm going to pass him again, you know? If you don't want to take that deer...
That's right.
At any point in the season, don't take it on the last day of the season.
And you got to think about these things ahead of time. You know, if you know which bucks are in your area, think about what you're going to do when they stand in front of you.
Yeah.
Be confident in your decisions.
Yeah.
You know, never second guess yourself, because the last thing you want is to go home at the end of the day and think, I wish I would have pulled the trigger. You know, you don't want to have that remorse.
No.
And I thought about this long and hard, because we started getting pictures of that 10 that I shot.
Yep.
And I mean, he was an obvious number two on our list.
Oh yeah.
Behind our number one. I mean, I'm
definite gonna, number two, sadly.
Yeah. I'm and that never was a nice buck. That buck.
That was a nice buck. But he was number two in that scenario.
He was a mature buck. But I'm never gonna forget number one. That was a super cool buck. You know, you're gonna hear a lot more about him in the episodes to come, but we got a picture probably right around this time of year. I think our first picture of him was like maybe not late July, but maybe early August.
I think he had velvet hanging
right
through that little, what we originally called the saddle.
Yeah, he still had his velvet. But, you know, the very first picture we got, I mean, we're scrolling through these photos, and we stopped in our tracks and said, what deer is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, his body just towered over all these other deer. I mean, oh, geez. Thinking back, he left an impression on us.
Yeah.
And I had to make the decision, you know, we're hunting this buck. What do I do if number two or number three on the list shows up?
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a tough decision, but I had number two walk right under me at 25 yards. At this point, I had every reason to believe that the bull, number one, he might have came by in just minutes later. He could have been following that buck, that 10 point. But I said to myself, you know what? He's a nice buck. And I made the decision kind of right in the moment. I said, I'm going to take him. Yeah. I'm not letting him walk.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're out there to put meat in the freezer. And especially in the scenario of hunting for bucks and not just trying to take does.
That's right.
You got to pick, you know, is this what I'm after? I mean, we're all after just getting outside and hunting, let's be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you have the opportunity on a good deer like that, it's kind of hard to let that opportunity slip. You don't know,
exactly
what's going to unfold the rest of the season.
And my favorite part about that is that I never regretted shooting that deer.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
Even though for a short time after, I knew that the bull, our number one, was still out there. It just so happens, I found out a few days later, someone shot our target buck, the bull, that exact night, the same night that I shot my 10 point. And, I mean, you know, congratulations to that guy. That's that's the buck of a lifetime, and I'm so happy that he got it.
Yeah.
You know, very bittersweet moment.
Yeah.
Hearing that.
We positioned ourselves in the best opportunities to target that deer, and
we did.
Somebody else got the opportunity that we were after, and hey, congratulations. I mean, that's really amazing.
Yeah.
That's an amazing achievement to harvest an animal of that caliber. I mean, that one big buck.
Yeah. We're going to remember that deer for the rest of our lives.
Oh, for sure. That biggest deer I've ever chased.
Public land deer over, I mean, I've shown this deer to a lot of people, and I'm very conservative, like low conservative when it comes to, you know, scoring a deer from a trail cam photo.
Oh yeah.
I'm saying he's right at the 140 line. I've had people tell me that he's upper 140s, pushing 150. I'm like, I don't know. But I mean, he's definitely between 140 and 150.
Yeah.
And to run into a deer of that caliber on Pennsylvania public land repeatedly, reliably and repeatedly.
Yes. That was
there's
the
something
biggest
to be said about that.
I think that was the biggest thing. Like, that's the biggest buck I've ever chased in that sense of kind of knowing that deer.
Exactly.
Learning his mannerisms, positioning myself where I think and found out that he did go. And sometimes that one camera where the antenna popped off and we found out he was daylighting up through that little valley. It was like, oh man.
Imagine if
didn't
that
really
antenna
hunt that
didn't
stand.
Break.
I know I didn't hunt that stand a lot because I was out, you know, just over targeting different deer thinking this is the best opportunity to shoot a mature buck.
Oh, yeah.
And we found out he was daylighting there once we pulled our cameras.
Yeah. You and I both did a good job at getting up in his kitchen, you know, coming at it the right way, not pushing him out of the bedding, just getting in there close, getting where he's coming.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I look back to that week that I took off to hunt, and I had to go back into work on one day. I think I had to go back in on Wednesday. So I took Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday off to hunt. So I had to work Wednesday. That buck was broadside 30 yards from my stand Wednesday at 8 a.m. That just kind of stuck the knife in and twisted it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, you talk about bad timing. So close.
Yep.
Oh, but nope. This should give you guys a little bit of a taste of what's to come. You know, we have lots of in-depth, up-close and personal content coming at you guys. We're here to share our experience, maybe get into some of your experiences too. Hoping to find some ways to interact with you guys at some point, but
get some informational stuff out there. We just put out a website.
Yeah.
www.modernoutdoordynamics.com. Got a website going, got a mobile version and a computer friendly version. So got both of those, and there's a spot on the bottom right hand corner, I believe it is, where you can go in and you can send us messages, send us pictures, videos, something like that. You can also email us. Our email's included in there. But check out the website. It's got everywhere this podcast is going to be streaming. Video podcast, obviously, will be Spotify and predominantly YouTube.
I got to say, dude, you did an incredible job on this website. You went into this knowing like nothing about web design. And I looked at this website that, I mean, Levi did this single-handedly. And I'm like, wow. Like, this blows my mind. This is a professional website.
Yeah.
So this thing's pretty sweet, so be sure to check it
professionalism
out.
Professionalism is at the height of our, like, that's...
That's what we're about here.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to be putting out stuff that's not what I would want to see.
Exactly.
You know, I feel like we hold ourselves to a really high standard.
Yep, we've been consumers for a while, and we're ready to be producers.
Yep.
So we're kind of looking for things. What would we be looking for?
Yeah.
As a consumer. And that's what we're looking to produce. That's what we're looking to put out there.
Yeah, exactly. Just getting it out to as many people as we can see. And it's going to be family friendly too. I feel like that's huge.
Yeah.
You know,
it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be informational. Above all though, it's going to be clean.
Yeah. 100%, that's huge. I want somebody to be able to sit down with their kids after a long day at work, or their kid gets back from school or sports practice or something.
Yeah.
And I want them to be able to get on there and say, whoa, I can actually relax.
Exactly.
And also relax in the sense of, I don't have to worry what these guys are going to say. I don't want to have to worry about what they're going to show or talk about. I want them to be able to sit down and enjoy it with their family, because family's been huge
exactly.
for us in the hunting thing, fishing thing. You know, both of our dads are avid outdoorsmen, and that's how we got started. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, I hate when people call it a hobby. Like, yeah. My life revolves around this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything you yeah. do is geared towards, when can I get out there next? When can I set that next trail camera?
Exactly.
When can I go out, sit in a stand again,
yeah.
cast another rod?
There's no off-season.
No.
There's no breaks. There's really not. You know, we eat, sleep, and breathe the outdoors. And, you know, I'm sure if you guys are watching this, you probably do too.
Yeah, if there's something to target, we're targeting.
Yes, big time.
Everything is geared and revolves around the outdoors.
Yeah, 100%.
Hey, man, that should pretty much sum it up. So there you have it, guys. You know what you can expect from the Modern Outdoor Dynamics podcast. We got episode number 2 coming up here shortly. It's going to cover our experience at TAC PA down at Seven Springs. And I mean, just, you know, again, to give you a little preview, we were thinking our expectations, going to have a good time coming in here, and it was just up here all day long. I mean, wow, did it blow our expectations out of the water. It was amazing. So, had a really good time. Couple of bad things.
Just a couple.
Close calls.
Yeah.
But overall, amazing experience. And so we're going to talk about that in conjunction with some newly signed legislature based around...
Am I allowed to say it now?
I think you could say it.
Sunday hunting in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
PA Sunday hunting. Oh my gosh, it's here. Dude, I'm so pumped.
Yeah.
I am so pumped. So.
Long time coming.
Yes,
long
sir.
Time coming, and it is here finally.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun episode. I can't wait for it already. So be sure to tune in, guys. Check us out. We'll see you then.